Yesterday, I did a funeral for my second cousin down in Middleburg, and I often think about what it is to encounter God. What does it mean when we meet God, we see God face to face, or we see the things of God around us? My cousin Howard and Robbie both now know what it means to see God face to face, and that's something that we struggle with. On this planet, we struggle with a term called theophany, which means to have a God manifestation in our life, where we want to see and experience the presence of the Holy Spirit or God himself. I mean, how many of us would just love to have God come and sit next to us in our prayer room? Put his arm around you like, all right, man, you'll be all right. You're going to be fine. Don't worry. I got you. Have the Holy Spirit come down and move that car out of the way when he's blocking us in traffic. That would be about us, not about God. So there's so often in our lives that when you talk to people about a God manifestation in their life, they freak out. There are people that do not believe that the gifts of the Spirit and the things of today and the works of the Holy Spirit occur. But I'm here to tell you today that they do. It is scriptural. It's biblical. It's happened even to this day. It occurs in our church. And I'm just going to talk a little bit about stuff. There's some scriptures that we can use to where we see a theophany occur. Saul, when he's on the Damascus Road, Jesus shows up and blinds him. That's a pretty big wake-up call. Hey, dude, why are you persecuting me? Okay. So it doesn't always have to occur to believers. Sometimes theophanies occur to non-believers. Sometimes theophanies occur in a demonic form. It could be a demonic being that would come to you. The woman with the issue of blood, her heart was to get healed. She'd gone through everything that she could go through. And her last hope, her faith, was all about just touching Jesus' garment. And when she ran up and she finally touched Jesus' garment, he said, I feel power had left me. What was her faith? Her faith was, I have to touch his garment. That was just it. Not that I have to touch him, not that I have to be prayed over by him. I just need to touch his garment. How about the Virgin Mary, who conceived through the Spirit, who gave us Jesus? How about Moses with the burning bush? He sees a burning bush. The bush is not being consumed. And I preached about that a couple weeks ago. What did he say to in his own mind? I have to go look at that. There are some times in our lives where we have to have a spiritual curiosity about things. Because without that spiritual curiosity, we can not see the things of God. What about the Pharaoh? We've got those that are hard-hearted. Moses does all these things. God brings plague after plague after plague. He kills the firstborn in Egypt, and only then do they let him go. How much bigger sign do you need that God is at hand and God is moving? How about the Israelites when they were in the desert? The Lord provided them fire by night and smoke clouds by day, or pillars of smoke during the day to follow. How about Peter walking on the water? And then he falls when he realizes who it is. How many times do we do that? We stand up really strong and we move far forward. And then when we take our eyes off of Christ, we fall on our face. And I would argue that all of you that are believers today have had a theophany. There is a time and a moment in your life when the Holy Spirit brought whatever conviction he needed to bring, whatever ideas he needed to bring, and you said, yes, Lord, you are my Savior. See, it's not uncommon for us to have experiences with God. The problem we live in is we live in a world that has taken the supernatural and the things of God and made them some freaky TV show or some weird thing or always about the darkness. And I'm not saying that everything is spiritual, and please, by no means do get that. Not everything is spiritual. I'm just saying there are times that the Lord wants to manifest in our lives, and he wants to show us that he cares. And so I'm going to first take you through some scriptures that show that Jesus wanted us to have some experiences with this with the Holy Spirit and with God. And the first scripture is Matthew 28:16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they had saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." What did Jesus command them to do? What's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. One of the greatest commandments, one of the things that God is telling us to do when we go to make disciples in nations and go to make disciples in our community is we need to be a people of love. Because love transgresses all kinds of problems, all kinds of situations. The fact that we, as humans, who we are, can actually love people is a theophany. Because we have a hard time loving people, right? Come on, you all just shake your head, yes. People are tough sometimes, but to stand through that and to love them where they're at and to pick them up when they're drunk and they're laying in a gutter or they're drug abused or they're lost and they're hurt and or they've harmed themselves or they're telling you stories that are so horrific, you just want to go rip the head off of everybody that caused that pain to that person. Love is the reason we don't. Love is the reason that we can pick people up. And love is the reason that we can. What was Jesus doing on the mountaintop where his disciples met him? Prayer. He was praying. What is your prayer life like? You want to see God start manifesting things in your life? You want to have those experiences? You want to know in your knower that God is there next to you? What's your prayer life like? What's your repentance like? It says here that some doubted. His disciples watched Jesus over and over and over again heal the sick, cast out demons, and do miraculous things. And they doubted. It is no wonder that we doubt now. Because all of us have doubts. All of us sometimes struggle with doubt because doubt is a natural part of the human condition. But really what God is asking us to do is exactly what the disciples did, which is be obedient to what Jesus tells us to do. Whether it be in Scripture or whether it be as he speaks to us. John 16:7 says, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Who's the Advocate? The Holy Spirit. Jesus goes, he's telling his disciples to go into all nations and go to touch everybody's life and go spread the gospel around the world. But he's telling us also that I have to go so that I can send somebody to help you go do it. The Holy Spirit is the power in our lives that helps us overcome things every day. And without it, we can't do life. Without the Holy Spirit. He is with you. He walks with you. He is there when you're crying. He is there when you're sad. He is there when your heart is broken. He is there to make the connection between you and who Jesus is and who the Holy Father is. He is there to help you. In our world today, there is darkness. And I sometimes get accused of being too dark when I preach, but folks, there is darkness in the world. I don't preach the darkness. I'm preaching the light of the Holy Spirit who comes upon us, who helps us deal with everything in our life. That go-between that Holy Spirit is between you and God, when you go and you're praying, the Holy Spirit's sitting right there next to you, and he's the one that's advocating for you. But how does he advocate, and where can he advocate? Well, whatever area you want. But again, it goes back to what I was saying just before. We need to have a life of repentance. We need to have a life that's clean, right? Because without that, there's some stumbling blocks. John 14, 21. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will follow my, will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Keeping his commands and doing the things of the Holy Spirit, of the Lord, and doing the things that God has asked us to do, he will show himself to you. Miracles occur. I was talking to you guys a couple weeks, or 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, about a situation we had where somebody showed up at our house, and we watched the power and the authority of God set that person free from demonic influence. That's not Pastor Mark in his own power and his own ability, because I don't have it. I'm not that good. But the Holy Spirit that dwells in me is. And I praise him for that. Every day, every minute. Love being a fundamental key to our life, to see miracles in our life, that love for the Father, the following of his commands, doing what God has asked us to do. What has he asked you to do? I'm going to get to that in a minute. See, God is a wise God, right? He's creator of all things. He knows everything. He knows everything before it happens. He knows everything throughout time and history. So God has wisdom for us, and he has wisdom through the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2, 4 through 16. My message and my preaching were not with wise, pervasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest in human wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. There is a message of power and spiritual power and spiritual authority in the Holy Spirit. I've watched it happen. I cannot tell you how many times during deliverance sessions, as we sit there, God has provided pieces of knowledge over and over and over and over and over and over again to watch people be set free. We had a veteran one time that was sitting in our, I was sitting with Sid, and we were discussing why he had so much PTSD and why he was so angry and why he was so hurt. And the Holy Spirit in the moment gives me a vision of a woman standing outside of a military gate and her being shot to death. And I said to him, I said, you told your men to shoot a woman, didn't you? And the guy broke down and started to cry. She was a suicide bomber. When they shot her, she exploded. And it was a horrific thing. But that man was set free that day. That man was set free through the power of the Holy Spirit and the knowledge of the Holy Spirit given by people that listen. Because sometimes the Lord speaks to us with vision. Sometimes he speaks to us with voice. Sometimes he speaks to us with circumstance. Sometimes he just speaks to us in our knower. I call it our knower. It's in my head. I just know it. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will talk to me when I'm dealing with witchcraft or things like that. I get nauseous, so I know what it is. There are times that the Holy Spirit empowers us to live life for him. And there's where we need to be. See, we need to speak with God's authority and show God's power. It's a very important part of our lives as believers. We don't have to use highfalutin words. You know, I kind of laugh. Pastor Ray is the theologian, the doctrine guy. I'm the guy with a bachelor's, a field dude, and I speak pretty plain. I don't really use big words. If it gets beyond three syllables, I get kind of confused. So just take that for what it's worth. In our lives, it must be our goal to have the mind of Christ in every situation we face. The mind of Christ. Because the mind of Christ is how we can overcome and help people, those around us. 2 Corinthians 7, I'm going to just continue. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. Oh no, you all have a plan and a purpose. Uh-oh. That sounds like a command. That sounds like God's told you that you have a plan. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Uh-oh. Oh, no more sidelines. None of the rulers of this age understand it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. There is hidden wisdom in God. And I'm going to share a testimony of a gentleman in a little bit that actually testifies to that. It's pretty amazing, actually. People generally do not understand faith until God provides the mind of Christ. We can have faith. We have that saving faith. Yes, Lord, I love you, and I want you to be my Lord and Savior. But how do we take, yes, Lord, I love you, and you're my Lord and Savior, to, if I have the faith of a mustard seed, I can move a mountain? There's a big gap there. Where's our faith at? Faith is an important aspect of it, right? Faith like the woman at the well. We do not always have to understand the things of God. We just have to be obedient to what God calls us to do. I'm sitting in a restaurant eating my wonton soup. I love Chinese buffets, all right? It's probably obvious. And I'm eating my wonton soup. And the Lord's like, you need to go talk to those people. I'm like, bro, really? I'm having... And God's like, I have a word for you. You have to go give a word to these people. Now? Right? Because we like to test God sometimes. He's like, yeah, now. Okay, what am I going to tell them? He goes, I'll tell you when you get there. So now it's faith, right? Now I have to blindly get out of my chair and go over to people I don't know in a public place and stand there and go. And when I got there, the Lord put it right on my heart. I looked at the gentleman and I said to him, sir, I don't know if this means anything to you. I'm a pastor, you know. I just feel that God's telling me that whatever treatment that you just went through, it'll be the last one and you're going to be okay. His wife breaks down crying. He breaks down crying. It was his last chemo, and he was healed. Amen. Amen. I can't make it up. I don't understand it. You can't make it up. So, being obedient sometimes allows the Holy Spirit to, one, build your faith, two, reach those around us that we don't even know. It is really hard sometimes for me to wrap my mind around the things that God shares with me, whether they be things to come or whether they be personal ministry sessions or whatever the case is. There are times that it is a struggle to understand the things of God, and I got to be honest with you. It is hard. There are times that, you know, I go to Sid and I'm like, I think I'm losing my mind. She's like, you already lost it. But but there are times that we struggle sometimes with the things of God and as he reveals them to us. But verse 10, let's move forward. These are the things God has revealed to us by the Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows the person's thought except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except for the Spirit of God. If you want to know what God wants to do in your life, if you want to know what your plan and purpose is, you want to know where your hang-ups and your hurts and those things are, ask God. Right? We often, I do love all of you, and this is not a dig on anybody, but I love at times when people run up to me, Pastor Mark, what should I do about? Have you prayed about it? No, I thought you would just give me the answer. It doesn't work that way. I'm not like, you can't put your credit card in and I spit out an answer. You shake me like an eight ball. It doesn't work that way, guys. If you're big enough to shake me, you can try. Pack a lunch. So we have to be... The Spirit of God provides the mind of Christ to the believers, but we have to be open to the Holy Spirit's influence. There are people in churches today that are afraid to have the Holy Spirit move in their life. And you can't be that way. You want an exciting ride? You want a life of adventure? Jump on the Holy Spirit train. It's a pretty wild thing. He does some pretty cool things. The Spirit of God builds us up and brings the body to edification. Everything that the Spirit does in our lives, that we would speak, that we do, should edify the body of Christ. It should never be about tearing people down, harassing people, or harming people. It is always about building them up or building the church up. That is clearly stated in Scripture. When people get up and I have a prophetic word, and that prophetic word is doom and gloom and shame and hurt and guilt, that's not a prophetic word from God. Right? But when people bring a word and it lifts people up and it encourages them, that's the words that I believe the Holy Spirit is giving us. Because that's who the Holy Spirit is. Verse 12. What we have received is not the spirit of this world of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. So that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not the words taught by human wisdom, but words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with spiritual taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolish and cannot understand them, because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to mere human judgments. For who has knowledge, who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. There are two worlds we live in, folks. People will argue and people don't want to hear that. There is a world that is a spiritual world, and there's darkness in that, and there's light in it, and there is a natural world we live in. That is scriptural. Can't argue that. But the Holy Spirit is the one that reaches across those spiritual realms into the natural realm, and he's the one that instructs us. He's the one that teaches us. He's the one that walks with us. Scripture is clear that unbelievers can't understand it. How many times have you ever heard anybody say, you guys go to church and you think God's doing miracles? That's just foolish. Right? No way somebody got healed. No way. I don't know, probably 20 years ago, we watched a woman had 7 tumors. Prognosis was not good. She gets baptized. She comes out, she goes to the hospital the next day for her start her treatments, and they're like, we need to see your ID. She's like, why? And they're like, because you have no cancer at all. That's medically proven. Can't make it up. We don't understand why God does what he does, who he does it to, and why he does it, but he does. Unbelievers can't even understand it, and it's hard for them. Look at the day of Pentecost, right? The Holy Spirit falls. We got people running around. They're acting drunk. They're drunk in the Spirit, right? And what are all the non-believers doing? They're all drunk. They're all been drinking before 10 a.m. They're all getting hammered. Wasn't the case. It was the Spirit of God moving in their lives. When it comes to spiritual matters in your life, I'm going to say this again. You need to seek God for those. And you need to seek the Holy Spirit. And you have to be willing for the answer. Sometimes we, right, so when we go to Lord in prayer, right, it's, youth are great with this. Lord, and they spew out everything, and they're like, can we play a game? Guys, whoa, time out. Why? Because a conversation means you have to sit and listen just as much as you have to talk. Actually, you should probably listen more. That's why God gave you two ears. You're supposed to listen twice as much as you speak. So, anyways. I often pray for people for the discerning of things in spiritual matters. Because it matters in your life when you can discern the things of life, of your life. And you can have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Has anybody ever heard of George Washington Carver? Amazing African-American. Who here loves peanut butter? Yeah. He's the guy that invented peanut butter. Did you know that he used no laboratory books? None of that stuff? All he did was he went into the laboratory and said, all right, Lord, tell me what to do. And the Lord showed him. In 10 days, he created 300 different peanut products as inspired by the Holy Spirit. So I believe peanut butter now to be holy food. But maybe I have a skewed opinion, but so when we talk about having the Spirit work in our lives, it's not always about ministry, and it's not always about our personal wounds. It's not always. Sometimes it's just about life in general. Sometimes it's about, I'm driving down the road, and the Lord's like, you need to take a left here, and then you find out there was a major accident ahead, or you get hung up, and you didn't get tangled into an accident, or you know, I do wetlands work, and get done walking a 200-acre site, and he's like, you didn't check that spot. Well, it's a walkover. Go check that spot. And I go over there and there's a wetland there. He does talk to us all the time. Mr. Carver experienced that. And here he had three things to say, which I thought were astounding to me personally. And the first thing he said was, the Lord always provides me with life-changing ideas. Not that I am special. The Lord provides everyone with life-changing ideas. These ideas are quite literally a treasure from the Almighty. It is up to each of us, however, to choose and to dig for the treasure. God gives all of us treasures. The second thing he said is, God is going to reveal to us things he never revealed before. If we put out our hands, if we put our hands into his hands. No books ever go into my laboratory. The thing I do, I should bring my glasses. The thing I am to do and the way I am doing it are revealed to me. I never have to grope for methods. The method is revealed to me the moment I am inspired to create something new without God to draw aside the curtain. I would be helpless. He would literally trust God to go into his laboratory and to do the work. Do we have that much trust? And do we have that much faith? I hope so. Because that right there is the heart of a man who believes that he can move mountains. That right there is the heart of a man who knows the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit can change your life instantaneously. And the last thing I love that he says, I love to think of nature as the unlimited broadcasting station through which God speaks to us every hour if we only tune in. In our busy days, in our craziness, tomorrow I'm going to be doing a 12-hour day, 10-hour day on Tuesday. Probably I'll be working about 60 hours this week. We'll be doing ministry tonight. We've got things to do all week. My life is crazy. But guess what? I take the time to tune in. You have to. No matter what is going on in your life, if you're not tuning into the things of God, you're missing the joy and the happiness that he can bring to you. We love the book of Galatians, or I love the book of Galatians. And it talks about different fruits. It talks about the fruits of the flesh in Galatians 5. And then it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. So, Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. And guess what? You all are called to be free too, just so y'all know. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Huh, love theme again. Interesting. For the entire law is fulfilled by keeping this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, and you are not under the law, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. One of the things I did when I was in ministry school was I was reading this, and I said to myself, how many fruits of the flesh do I have versus how many fruits of the Spirit? And I went, oh, I suck. We can live in our flesh, but our flesh will only bring death to us. By a life in the Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, listening and living for him, we can have life. And that life can be beyond what you can imagine. Because we go to verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with the passions and the desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, or envying each other. When we live life in the Spirit, it's not about all the things that Pastor Mark does or Pastor Ray does or Pastor Sid or anybody. It's about what God's doing in your life and what God's doing through your life that changes your life and the life of everyone around you. we so often look at, wow, I want to do that ministry. Well, that ministry may not be for you. And if you go and you get in the wrong ministry and you dive and you put all your energy to it and you're not supposed to be there, it will crash. And it will destroy you and everyone with you. It is better to do whatever the Lord has for you as led. And you will know what the Lord has for you. What are you good at? What do you enjoy to do? Those are things and keys to remember. Because what you love and what you're good at are the things that God created you to do. Simple. You just have to hone your thoughts. So here's, in concluding, there's a couple things that we can keep in mind when it comes to having a deeper relationship with God to see the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in your life. One, we must have faith. We must have the saving faith, but we also must have faith that the Holy Spirit and the Lord can do what he says he can do. We trust him. And sometimes when we trust him and we go in prayer, the answer is no. And it's heartbreaking. Sometimes we walk out in faith and we see God just provide. And you sit there and you shake your head going, I don't get it. We need to believe God's promises. The enemy wants you to forget that God loves you. The enemy wants you to forget that you are never left alone. He wants you to feel alone. He wants you to feel unloved. He wants you to feel hatred. He wants you to be isolated because that's how a predator works. Because when a predator isolates you, they take you out. Believe God's promises that the advocate, the Holy Spirit, is walking right beside you, walking with you. He's there to protect you. He's there to guide you. He's there to help you. He's there with the power and the authority of God to tell Satan, go, be gone. His promises is also there to tell you how much he cares about you and that he's going to empower you and he's going to lift you up, that the kingdom of heaven is not that far away, that when he calls you home, you will be with him in paradise. There's a lot to the God, the promises of God. There is a lot to it. Do your own research. It'll blow your mind. Prayer is another piece. Prayer is a very difficult thing. We're all running busy lives and crazy lives. I get it. But the lives of prayer, the people that I know that have solid lives of prayer, see the things of God with the mind of Christ. If that's something you want, you have to put the time in to do that. There ain't any teaching or anything that we can do. It is about time with the Holy Spirit and time with the Father, just seeking him, crying out to him, because that is what will change your life. Pastor Ray or I or anybody or any evangelist or whatever can bring a message to you. But ultimately, it's the Holy Spirit that through prayer and through his presence will change you. It's not us. It's him. And we give him the glory. Always. Obedience. I know there's two up there. We need to follow the Lord's commandments. We need to do that. We need to love our neighbor as ourselves. But obedience. What are we being disobedient to God about? Anybody here ever disobedient? I've been taken to the woodshed a lot by the big guy. I think he's got a paddle of my own name on it, which is cool. I don't know if that's an upgrade or a downgrade, but it's something. Our obedience to him and to the scripture which you need to read will separate us from sin. Sin is the major division between you and the Holy Spirit in God. They're there. They're waiting. But it's that division caused by sin. Because God is so holy that he cannot even be in the presence of sin. So we need to get our lives right. That's where repentance comes into place, so that we can be obedient to him, that we can live our life for him. Obedience brings the mind of Christ. Repentance also helps assure us that we have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Through repentance, our faith will grow. I promise you, if you go to the big guy and you start telling him, Lord, I'm really sorry. I blew this, I did this, I did this. And you start to realize that you're forgiven, that things start changing in the natural in those areas, it will grow your faith. Does that make sense? Okay. This is a tough one. Congratulations. Everyone here has free will. Please choose how you want to exercise it. That is the most challenging gift that God has ever given us. Our submission to the Holy Spirit, our submission to God is 100% voluntary. You paid for it, you asked for it, you're here. Your life and your submission to the Lord is 100% voluntary. Think about that. So how many of us are like 50% voluntary? Or 30% voluntary? Lord, I'll trust you to do it, but don't send me to do that. But that's the thing I have for you to do. But I don't want to do that, Lord. Okay, you don't have to. I'll send somebody else. Voluntary. And that's a tough one. When you feel the Lord is leading you to do something, step out in faith. A lot of people in this church have learned, myself included, Pastor Ray and myself, our policy is we would rather have you step out in faith and to grow in areas than to sit and to worry about what people are going to think. Now, if it's your first time, I would recommend that you either go to Pastor Ray or myself and say, hey, I think this is what the Holy Spirit is telling me, and we can help you walk through that process. You know, if you step out in faith and you're destroying people because that's what you felt the Lord was telling you to do, it's probably not the right thing. Right? We all have sin in our lives, and we all have things going on. So sometimes a little finesse goes a long way. We're not here to destroy people. Number 10. We need to trust God. Where's your trust factor with him? Do you trust him? Do you trust him with your life? Do you trust him with your finances? Do you trust him with your sin? Do you trust him with your weaknesses and your strengths? Do you trust him with your abilities? Do you trust him to love you? Do you trust him to always be there? Those are tough ones. Trusting God is an essential aspect of our walk with Christ. If we are not going to trust God to do the things that God needs to do in our life and through us to help other people's lives, then you are going to have challenges. We talked earlier about edifying the body, that when you step out in the Lord, it should edify the body of Christ. It should edify the church. It should not tear them down. It should not destroy them. Number 12. Oh boy. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is one of the hardest things in the world. Many people do not forgive. They hold on and they harbor anger and anxiety and all of that stuff. Recent studies have just concluded that unforgiveness is one of the number one causes why, this is a secular research, that people have anxiety, sleepless nights, fear, and worries. Because they live in a heightened state of unforgiveness and anger all the time. If you got people you need to forgive, no matter what they have done to you, forgive them. It's not easy. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Lord, help me to understand how to forgive. That's the trust part. And then the free will and the submission part is, Lord, I'm going to freely, willingly submit to you so that you can do it. You see how they're all tied together? Because it's really in our commands, right? We love the Lord's Prayer. Forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Huh, so you're forgiven as you're forgiven? Oh man, this is complicated. The whole Bible is so compact, I don't know. Forgiveness is a huge thing though, folks. If you're carrying hurt and you're carrying pain with you, and that's something that you need to walk out, please see Sid, please see me, see Pastor Ray. You need to let things go in your life and walk a life of forgiveness. People have harmed all of us. There's not a person here that hasn't been wrong. There's not a person here that hasn't been hurt. There's not a person here that hasn't had something go wrong. And sometimes we blame God. Sometimes we blame people. Sometimes we blame ourselves. All of those need to be forgiven. Fair, Sid? Okay. And the last thing, and one of the most important things, is seeking unity. Always seek unity with the Spirit. Seek unity in the body. In the process of seeking unity, what you will find is that the Holy Spirit can talk to you about certain things that are going on to help give you information so that you can add to that unity to bring it forward. And sometimes when we're in sessions and we're dealing with people, we have to, not dealing with people, but dealing with the things that people have gone through, we have to bring forward the problems that they've had so that they can find the unity with Christ that they're seeking. And that's a tough place. Any questions? Yes, ma'am.
Can you remember Tony and Steph?
No. I appreciate you, but no. Does this all make sense, guys? We're entering a time, we have been in a time for a while. I think it's time for the church just to operate in the Spirit and to start relying on the Spirit to do things, because that is what will change our community, and that is what will change our nation, and that is what will change people's lives. There are hurt and broken and lost people in our community. They need Jesus just as much as we do.